Episode 10, Freedom. The spacious hall of the temple was bright and calm. Orange curtains on the windows almost did not refract the sun's rays. They passed through the light matter, filled the space with a magical golden shimmer, and illuminated the paintings that hung on the walls. A group of students gathered around one of the paintings. They looked at it with interest and talked animatedly, and some even argued, pointing to individual details of the canvas. The painting that had caused such a reaction was unlike any of the famous works of art that are usually exhibited in galleries. The central place was occupied by a huge skull. Its mouth was wide open, and between the upper and lower teeth were strong bars behind which prisoners languished. The same bars were in the empty eye sockets, and prisoners were also standing behind them. They were stretching their hands out, screaming for help, and their faces were frozen with suffering, horror, and a desire to get out as soon as possible. Below were guards with spears. All of them were noticeably different from each other, and each held a mask in his hand. A snow-covered mountain towered over the skull, on top of which stood a teacher. He was holding a rope in his hands, pulling one of the prisoners out of the skull prison. The figure of the sage shone in a halo of bright light that broke through the sky, covered with gray clouds. The canvas attracted the eye and gave rise to contradictory feelings. One wanted to look at the many details, finding in each of them a deep hidden meaning. The longer the students looked at the picture, the more little things they found, wondering and trying to explain their meaning to each other. They were so carried away by this process that they did not immediately hear the steps of the keeper behind them. But when he approached closer, they all turned around at once, feeling the touch of light, warm energy. The argument stopped instantly, and the students parted in awe, letting the teacher pass. A young, fair-haired woman leaned forward. "Dear teacher," she turned to the sage, "we were just looking at a new painting. It's so unusual. It seems that every detail here means something. Is that right?" "Yes, that is right. This painting shows us what objective creativity should be like, where every detail is not accidental. It shows the spiritual path, the state of a person in which he is. If there are more such objective pictures, objective creativity, we will be able to enlighten sooner. The trouble is that such pictures were not shown to us in the kindergarten and at school, which is why it is so difficult to decipher this symbolism." "Will you help us?" Senia looked hopefully into the keeper's eyes. "Can you explain what it's all about? Why the skull? Why the prison and the masks? Who are these people with spears down there?" The keeper of the knowledge took a few more steps toward the painting, and a mysterious smile touched his lips. "This picture is about inner freedom," he answered succinctly, and looking at the students with a meaningful look, continued, "All people are in prison, but not in some terrible dungeons, not in concentration camps behind barbed wire. The prison is in our head. People are trapped in the captivity of their desires, beliefs, and false personalities. This prison restricts us and does not allow us to develop spiritually or to feel free and happy." "So the skull symbolizes the head, where all our false programs are stored?" said a tall man with attentive brown eyes. "But why the skull and not the brain, for example?" "Here it shows that it is something dead and not alive. We are in this dead state. The teacher turned his gaze to the canvas and pointed with his hand in the direction of the skull depicted in it. "Do you see what is there instead of teeth?" "Yes, we have already noticed. These are masks," the brown-eyed man replied. "But what does that mean?" "Our prison consists of the masks of our roles and of false personalities," the sage explained. "A person has become so stuck with his roles in which he plays that he began to identify himself with these roles. Imagine what would happen if actors in the theater began to identify themselves with their roles. Someone playing Napoleon would leave the theater and continue to shout that he was a great commander and demand that he be honored. What would happen then?" "He would immediately be put in a mental hospital," said the fair-haired girl, and giggled, imagining this picture. The keeper of the knowledge nodded. "That is where these roles lead. If a person identifies with a role, becomes this role, then he loses himself. He no longer remembers who he is. Only in deep childhood, a person is himself. And then he knits together with his masks." The students listened attentively to the teacher's explanations, unable to take their eyes off the picture. Gradually, the image gained its true meaning. It appeared in detail, gained volume, and encouraged people to feel subtly and fathom the true knowledge. "Beloved teacher, what do these people with spears represent?" a petite blonde with mischievous dimples asked, pointing to the bottom of the image. "These are the same guards who put masks on people and force them to play roles," the sage explained. "They began to influence us from early childhood, encouraging us with all their might to match the made-up images. We constantly play roles, adapting to others. Masks are our disguises, our false personalities that limit our strength and capabilities, and do not allow them to open up and manifest. Look, each guard also has masks in his hands, see? This means that they also play their roles. For example, this woman in hair curlers and with a rolling pin in her hand. She plays the role of a mother in our lives and keeps us in the prison of false personalities throughout our lives." "But teacher, our mom is our dearest and closest loved one." The blonde girl was surprised. "How can she be an evil jailer?" "Of course, every mother wishes her children happiness, but every person has their own ideas about this happiness, and very often, our mother wants to embody her desires, her dreams, and her hopes in us. Remember how often we wanted to be good for our mom when we were children, to please her, to do something that would grant her approval, even if we did not like that at all. And then we grew up, and now we are 20, 30, 40 years old, and we all continue to hear her voice in our head, which tells us what to do, what we should be. It often happens that we do not meet the idealized requirements of our mothers, and we suffer a lot from this. We do not unlock the potential that we have. We do not use our development opportunities because all our lives we have been trying to adapt to the role of a good girl or good boy that our mother instilled in us. For example, what about when a mother wants her daughter to become a lawyer, yet she dreams of being a dancer? Another student asked in a ringing voice. A well-groomed, attractive woman with regular facial features and penetrating eyes. Do I understand right? The keeper of the knowledge nodded. Yes, Sinia, you got the gist of it. He praised the girl. But this is one of the possible options. But in fact, there can be a lot of restrictions, up to the point that a girl marries and gives birth to children only because her mother wants her to do so, in order to play the role of an obedient girl as best as possible. "And the other jailers, who are they?" asked a tall, muscular guy, pointing with his hand at a respectable lady depicted next to the mother. "This woman near the blackboard looks like a school teacher. So it means that teachers also impose roles and create false personalities?" "Of course, these are very strong guards," the sage explained. "From early childhood, they explain to us what we should be and what to do. Study well, be diligent, be liked by everyone." "But what's wrong with that?" The guy was amazed and turned his gaze to the keeper of the knowledge. "Being influenced by teachers, a person often begins to strive to please everyone, to conform to far-fetched ideals instead of going his own way, developing his individuality and unique potential. Unfortunately, in our world, teachers very often broadcast false values, forcing students to wear masks instead of giving them the opportunity to be themselves. In childhood, our psyche is very flexible, and just at this very time, they form a false personality in us. But I still remember how in the first grade, the teacher would force us to sit motionless for half an hour after lessons, simply because one of the boys had behaved badly, said a woman with a deep look of light blue eyes, whose shoulders were covered with a beautiful thin scarf. There was irony and a slight bitterness in her words. Looking at the student, the teacher sent her invisible but tangible rays of energy of love, kindness, and acceptance. "That is right, Ada. Teachers often make us sit and not move, not talk, not fidget, in the most active years of our life, when we want to run, jump, play, and explore the world around us. And then we come home from school, and there, Mom also tries to feed us till we're full. And so, we get used to sitting, being lazy, and eating a lot. All this destroys our natural power and our instinctive center. It contradicts nature itself." The keeper of the knowledge shifted his gaze from one student to another, tracking the reaction to his words. Their faces lit up with understanding, and it was clear that every word of his resonated in their souls, encouraging them to pass everything through themselves, to immerse themselves in their own childhood, and look for the influence of the guards of their inner prison there. "And what kind of guard is this?" Senia pointed to a rectangle in the left part of the picture, in which was a man in a suit that looked like a news anchor. He also had a spear in his hands. "Television," the sage replied, "is one of the strongest guards of our prison. Talk shows, TV series, news. People get a lot of behavioral patterns from TV that everyone strives to follow. Love stories have taught us to be jealous, to feel offended, to make scenes and have tantrums. And it became our prison. In relationships with the opposite sex, we simply do not know how to behave differently. Various talk shows give people ready-made patterns of behavior. They tell how to react and act in different circumstances." The teacher paused, and at that moment his gaze was caught by one of the students, a short, heavily built young brunette with a neat short haircut. "You know, my mother still believes that if something is said on TV, then it means it's the ultimate truth." Skeptical notes slipped into her voice. "Unfortunately, there are many such people. Those who unconditionally believe TV and various media," the keeper of the knowledge sadly stated. "In fact, television is a real home hypnotist. It puts us in prison and forces us to play a lot of unnecessary roles that prevent us from developing spiritually." "It's quite clear with the TV, but what are these characters?" the same student asked, pointing to other figures with spears, young men with a syringe and a bottle. The personification of bad habits? Bad habits do not just appear by themselves, the teacher replied. They are often associated with a destructive social circle that has a destructive effect on our lives, prompting us to drink alcohol or do drugs. But people think that this is their real freedom, to do something forbidden, to challenge society. In fact, this is not so. We just adapt to the people we communicate with and who are important to us for one reason or another. But at the same time, we are moving further away from our true selves. And this young man with a computer? Asked Ada, pointing to the figure of another guard and not hiding her surprise. He's playing. Is it really that bad, too? After all, it's not alcohol or drugs. The keeper of the knowledge listened to the question and began to explain patiently. Virtual reality is dangerous because people escape from the here and now. Players spend all their time and energy in an artificial, illusory world. Yes, they can be anyone there. Kings, magicians with superpowers, elves, Amazonians. But they do not develop, do not realize the potential inherent in them. People are so immersed in the game that they lose touch with reality. Hearing the words of the sage, one of the students, an austere thin girl, raised her hand asking to speak. When the teacher nodded in her direction, she leaned forward and, adjusting the glasses on her nose, began to speak. You know, I had a living example before me, she uttered, overcoming the awkwardness that could be clearly seen in her gaze. My older brother was 15 then, and he practically lived in the world of online games. He abandoned his studies. It was impossible to force him to leave the house. And when Mom tried to reason with him somehow, he just snapped at her. You know, in a very angry manner. And one day... She paused and her voice trembled. When she just came up and turned off the computer, he punched her with his fists. I saw it all, but I was still too young then. The girl finished her story and fell silent. It was obvious that these memories were unpleasant, and that she felt guilty about not being able to reason with her brother and help her mother. Marina, it is good that you have found the strength to tell us about it, the teacher said, accompanying the words with a warm, loving look that came from the very depths of his soul. You should not blame yourself. You were just a child. Alas, people who have become addicted to virtual reality react very aggressively to those who try to help them, get them out of this world of illusions. On this basis, quarrels and scandals often arise between husbands and wives, between parents and children. Catching the teacher's gaze, Marina smiled and even visibly relaxed, as if she had thrown an old, unnecessary burden off her shoulders. Beloved teacher, may I ask you one more question about this image, she said, and pointed with her eyes at the painting. All the guards you talked about, mother, teachers, bad company, virtual reality, it is all clear now. But why is a priest depicted here? Does he also force us to put on a mask and play a role? The sage followed the student's gaze, and intertwining his long fingers spoke. Often, under the pretext of righteousness, religious representatives imprison us too. They impose a lot of restrictions on us. They say, this is sinful, and this is pleasing to God. They cover their goals with good intentions, religion, kindness, and holiness, and even start wars in the name of Christ. Just like it was with the Crusades, a short-haired, blue-eyed young man asked. Yes, the sage answered laconically. And not only, but if Jesus Christ had found out about them, he would never have approved of that, and would have been very surprised that the religion of love could lead to such bloodshed. And the medieval Inquisition? In the name of faith, Hundreds of beautiful young bright girls were called witches and burned alive. Modern ministers of the church are as far from the idea of holiness. They wear expensive watches, drive luxury cars. All this is quite far from the ideas of true holiness. But let us see who else we see as guards of our prison, said the keeper of the knowledge, pointing to the figure of a general with orders and medals on his chest. What do you think it means? He addressed all the students, encouraging them to find the answer on their own. Probably it is about the army, said the blue-eyed young man. But the army is created for good purposes, to protect the motherland. Is that bad, too? War is, in any case, a mass murder by people of their own kind, the teacher said weightily, and it does not matter what their faith, religion, or nationality is. Murder is always a sin. And we often see how religion and the church blesses wars. If we look at everything realistically, then people are simply forced to put on a mask and play the role of defenders of the motherland. But shouldn't people protect their homeland if it is attacked by an enemy? The guy was surprised. Our homeland is a river, a forest, a field, mountains. All this does not need people to shed their blood. In fact, we are forced to fight not for our homeland, but for the throne of another ruler who seeks to gain even more power. And if a person goes to war as a volunteer? The guy asked again. The topic turned out to be very close to his heart. And has anyone wondered why he volunteers? The teacher looked inquiringly at the guy and at the rest of the students, encouraging them to look for an answer on their own. In fact, we are just trying to conform to the ideas about ourselves that have been instilled in us, the sage said after a pause. For example, to be a good soldier, a communist, or a fascist, a defender of the motherland. And when we voluntarily go to war, we do not understand that we are striving to do our best to play the role given to us. And Lenin in an armored car, is this a symbol of power? Senia suggested. The sage nodded. That is right. This is a symbol of the rulers who put masks on us. They hide behind various noble pretexts, loud slogans, and encourage others to follow them. But in fact, they pursue only their own interests. Remember the history. What, for example, did the Bolshevik ideas of equality and fraternity lead to? To the greater poverty of the people, the disciples replied. And take Hitler, the keeper continued. After all, he justified his monstrous war with good ideas. He called for purifying the Aryan nation and reviving the strength of his people. And there are many such rulers, Mao Zedong, Stalin, Kim Jong-un, and many others. With their inspiring speeches, they restrain us, encouraging us to follow their goals. And as a result, we cannot manifest ourselves the way we want. We do not follow the path that will help our soul develop. Who's that blonde guy in the red hoodie? Asked Angelina, pointing to the man with the spear on the right side of the painting. And this is the personification of advertising, another powerful guard of our prison. It forces us to eat certain foods, wear fashionable clothes, buy a new phone simply because a new model has been released. We are encouraged to spend our energy and time to earn money to buy a huge number of unnecessary things. And this is our prison. We have been working all our lives to match the images of successful people from advertising. But this does not make us happy. The keeper of the knowledge finished speaking, and silence settled in the hall. Everyone continued to look at the painting and ponder his words. "Beloved teacher," Senia turned to the keeper with trepidation and gratitude. "Thank you so much for explaining everything to us. Now, the true sense and symbolic meaning of this painting has become clear. But tell us, what should we do to get out of this prison? I mean, we live in a society and cannot completely get rid of the roles that it imposes." The sage listened attentively to the student's question, sending her a friendly, warm look. "We need to learn all our roles, learn all our masks, and then we can begin to get out of the inner prison of our mind," he replied in an expressive, sonorous voice. "The main thing is to realize that at every moment of time we are playing a role. We need to disentangle ourselves from it, to understand that we are separate from the mask, that we are not it. We have to realize the entire repertoire of our roles, see it from the outside, and start to abandon it all." "And then we will be able to gain inner freedom?" "Yes. Look, this picture already shows the path that we need to follow." The teacher pointed to a figure in a dark long robe at the top of the mountain. This man was surprisingly similar to the keeper of the knowledge himself. Or maybe it was him as the personification of a sage, an assistant along the path of liberation. "See?" He drew the student's attention to the fact that the teacher in the picture was throwing a strong rope to the people in the skull prison. "It is shown here that through Sahasrara, the chakra which is responsible for communication with the higher powers, the teacher pulls those who want to be saved out of prison." "So it is impossible to get out by ourselves without help?" Marina asked. "Maybe, but it is much more difficult than with a teacher. Therefore, we must look for a sage who knows everything, who can pull a person out of this prison and save him. And we also need a team of like-minded people. Alone, it is difficult to awaken in people the desire to escape and awareness. It is necessary for all students to wake each other up, to prevent them from sleeping, to allow them to identify with roles. They should indicate who is identifying with which role. Only then will it be possible to get out of our inner prison, which exists only in our head." The teacher finished speaking, and silence settled in the hall. The students were very impressed. They looked with awe at the sage, at the painting, and it was clear that this conversation had changed their perception of the world and themselves. And then, the resonant voice of the keeper of the knowledge, filled with pure energy of love, rang out again. "Who wisdom or stupidity achieved will tell me this, unhidden and believed. Give me the key to those amazing wonders, for I myself am knowledge and unawareness. Who came to good or suffering in Essie, do give me words of blissfulness and unmessy. Is their source a noble holy stem? Nay, good in none of it is what I am. Now have I their cold of prickly pressing, now sweet are tender girlies of caressing. Nay, hardly am I one to hark to them. The giver to myself is what I am. Rejoicing up to prayers every day, within a hope to run the week away. Whatever grief and joy, as well as damn, it's all I ever caused and what I am. The all I see and all to which I hearken, to be my hate, and my mentation darken. Along the far or in the near line, acquires every place across inside of mine.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.